and welcome to Hey, Have You Read This? You are joined by writer and author Hayley Savark.
Hello.
And publicist Madeline Ryan. I almost forgot what I did for a living.
You gave me shit last week for not being able to do this intro.
Yeah. Hayley is such a good speaker, and then as soon as we put the microphone in front of you and I'm like, okay, can you do the intro? You're like... Yeah. Wow, today's not my day. It's the heat. Today we are reading Heartsick by Jesse Stevens, and we do have to apologise if there is any background noise in this podcast. It is a really hot day in Australia.
And we have to have the window
open. And we have to have the window open, otherwise we will
melt like a candle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a candle.
Yeah.
Before we jump into the synopsis of this book,
mm-hmm.
It is called Heartsick. It is about heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to take a moment to talk about the queen of heartbreak, Miss Taylor Swift.
I thought you were going to say me. I was like, you're not. I'm like, what? Like, I've been through some pretty, like, tragic shit in my life.
Take a moment to talk about your dating history. Oh my god, that's hilarious. No, I was thinking we could talk about the fact,
talk about Taylor Swift.
That because, Taylor Swift yes. released Red, yep. Taylor's version.
Yes.
Yes. And, yeah, that's
the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
Don't even.
Amazing. She also claimed that she wrote this ages ago, right?
Yeah.
I kind of don't believe her because she would, old Taylor would never say fuck the patriarchy, you know, like in her lyrics. This is a very new Taylor Swift written song.
I've heard a few people who have said that they think there's a lot of hindsight being applied
I
to
think
the
so too,
song. Yeah. And so it doesn't like, seem like she yeah. had that hindsight when she was 21.
Yes.
And yeah, because she was rehearsing for Speak Now.
Exactly.
The tour,
exactly.
And she yeah, apparently wrote it.
You cannot say as well in a song, I get older.
They love the same age.
Same
yeah,
age.
Yeah.
It's like, that's hindsight.
Yeah, that is hindsight.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do think, I feel like she, I don't doubt that she wrote it all.
Yes.
And I believe that it was probably like 15 minutes long.
Yes.
And then I think that, like re-recording it now, the beauty of her re-recording her albums is that she can tweak things that she wish she had done before, but didn't because, you know, there was a record label telling her what to do.
Very true.
So I think, yeah, like, I think that's fine if she's applied a bit of hindsight to it, rewritten some sentences.
Yeah.
Because, like, she obviously, when she first released All Too Well, it was not a hateful song. Like,
no.
It was not, like...
There's probably one... It's literally probably the saddest song she's ever written.
It's just a sad song.
Actually, apart from Ronan, I can't listen to that song.
Oh, yeah, no,
Nope, not that one, Taylor.
Yeah, not that one, Taylor. But yeah, no. So yeah, it's been a big week for us.
Yes, Taylor Swift, All Too Well, the short video clip as well, and then she literally has worked non-stop. She has worked non-stop, and it's a testament. Like she's very inspirational in that way of like, because everyone told her like you shouldn't re-record your music. It's not gonna do anything, and like it's blown up on Spotify.
She was
everywhere.
A 20-year-old country singer.
Yeah.
Like, why everyone was just like, what do you mean? Like you're Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
The media maimed her.
Imagine when she maimed you as well. Imagine when she re-records Reputation, because that was the Reputation era. It was
don't
like.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
Reputation's probably my favorite album.
But I think as well, like you said, like to connect this to the book. She is the queen of heartbreak. Not me.
Yeah.
Not me. But like, not
me.
Not
you. Not Hermione, but you. No, not you. Not Hermione, me.
No,
isn't
it's
it?
You. No, it's you. Not me. Not Hermione, you.
Okay, yeah.
It's like Harry Potter going, you know.
What's he doing? How do we say that at the same time? He's going to sacrifice himself.
No. Ron, you can't! Where are we going in this podcast?
Okay, anyway. Yes, back to, Heartbreak.
Yeah.
The whole time reading this book, I was listening to Red, Taylor's version.
Yes,
softly in the background.
Yes, and her added From the Vault, love it.
Oh my gosh.
Love it.
I Bet You Think About Me is one of my favourites.
Yes,
I was so happy that she made the music video.
Yeah, do you like it? I thought it was done really well.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Although, I do know that Miles Teller is a very proud Republican. The male. The guy.
Is he? That's very random for Miles.
Yes, like he was a Trump supporter, and so it makes me feel, I don't know how I feel about that, because Taylor Swift.
Oh, well, look, you can, oh god, with Red as well, I just realised, Republican and Red. Like, maybe she did it on purpose. Well, okay, look. I've always said this.
You can have friends. You can have friends
that you disagree with things. It's okay.
Yeah, I just, I think, I feel like it is kind of just red a bit rating. These days.
Yeah.
To, if someone's very pro-Trump and someone's very pro, like,
well,
women's rights
yeah,
and stuff.
It's hard to, like, be friends when that's so grating.
Do you know what, though? But isn't she... She is from Texas, isn't she?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a red state. So she would probably have... I expect a lot of her friends are probably Republicans.
Perhaps, yeah. And so she's like, well, I just have to accept this.
Yeah. Whereas I think, like, where we live, I feel like it's rarer to find someone super conservative.
Well, I think it's dangerous that, like, to put yourself in a cone of silence where everyone disagrees with you. Like, it's biased opinions and things like that. Like, obviously, you know, like... If I use the example of conspiracy theorists, all they do is talk to each other. They don't aren't interested in that, and I think that's really bad. Like, that's toxic.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have friends who you disagree with. I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
I think we need to realize that, like, on the internet, especially, like, you are allowed to disagree with people. That is okay.
Unless you're disagreeing about the fact that Taylor Swift is the greatest artist of our generation. She's a poet.
She is.
This woman is a poet.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
and she is like you said, she is the queen of heartbreak because she has taken her life stories and other people's stories. And this is the thing that people have to realize is, like, not every story that she writes is necessarily about her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Folklore, Evermore, they were stories written about situations of that people were in, like Illicit Affairs.
Mm.
It's a beautiful song.
Yes.
The One, you know, these are different situations. And for her to be able to capture that is amazing.
And there's that misconception that she's a man-hater. But I think more so than not, her songs validate your feelings as a young person going through these emotions. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, non-binary.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, whoever you are, if you've experienced heartbreak, she validates those feelings. And she says, she puts into words the feelings that you could not put into words.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
so
she
casually
has a way,
cruel in the name of being honest.
She has,
like,
a way.
Yeah.
And the heart I know I'm breaking is my own. To me, the best I've ever known. I'm sorry. Like, she just has a way with words. And,
she does. She's a very strong writer. Speaking of strong writers.
Speaking of writing and words.
And heartbreak and heartsick.
And heartbreak and heartsick. So let's dive into Heartsick. Get yourself... you know, it's... I don't know where you are listening from, but...
You might have a hot drink.
You might have a hot drink. Whatever's comforting to
you
right now.
We made the mistake of getting a hot tea.
Yeah.
Very large mistake.
Yeah. Very sweaty.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this read.
What's the book about, Maddie?
Claire has returned from London to the dust and familiarity of her childhood home, only to realise something is wrong with her partner, Maggie. Patrick is a lonely uni student until he meets Caitlin. But does she feel as connected as he does? Anna is happily married with 3 children, then one night she falls in love with someone else. Based on 3 true stories, Heartsick is a compelling narrative non-fiction account of the many lows and occasional surprisingly highs of heartbreak. Bruising, beautiful, achingly specific, but wholeheartedly universal, it reminds us that emotional pain can make us as it breaks us, and that storytelling has the ultimate healing power.
Hmm.
That's a good synopsis.
That is
for a book.
Very good synopsis.
I feel like that really...
And I feel like that doesn't capture the book for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say I feel like that hits the nail on the head.
Okay, all right, interesting.
I have a question to ask. Hayley, have you read this?
Yes. How do I... Okay, so last week we read The Happiest Man on Earth.
Yeah.
And I personally am still... on a high from that.
Yeah,
and
that was an incredible book.
Yeah, to go from a book like that to a book that's so different, in completely different.
Yeah.
And, like, people were having these... I mean, look, everyone has their own pain and, like, you can't compare pain. However, just reading about what Eddie went through and then reading about some of these stories, I was like, people were dying.
You kind of, like, get some perspective.
People were dying.
There are people that are dying, Kim.
There are people that are dying,
yeah,
Kim. For me to come in with that mindset was a little bit difficult to jump into.
I think that's always the way with books about relationships, is that looking in, you know, with hindsight on your own personal relationships and looking in from the outside of somebody else's relationship, you're always going to be like, what the hell? Like, leave this person. That person's shit. That person, how can you stay with someone for, like, you know, like, why are you staying with this person? Yeah. It's always harder.
Yeah.
To, yeah, I find it, I do struggle reading.
Yes.
You know, these sort of, like, raw and real romance books.
Oh, we should also say that this book is actually Australian as well.
Yeah, so Jessie Stevens is a...
Australian journalist.
Yeah, she is the, I believe she's a content editor for Mamma Mia, and she has a number of podcasts with Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed her writing. How did you feel about the writing?
No, I really enjoyed her writing too. I think I really... So she starts... So the book... Let's kind of talk about the book structure.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts off with her own kind of account on it, like her story, which I kind of thought the book was going to be about. Like, I thought, oh, this is her personal story.
Interesting.
But then we kind of go into, you know, Claire, Anna and Patrick, like three different stories, and they kind of, they don't ever connect. They're completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
But that you follow their stories. And then she finishes with, her kind of account. And then she finishes with an essay on romantic rejection, which I actually really liked. I think that was probably the highlight of the book for me.
Yeah.
To end on that essay. So I really liked the structure. It was done really well. But, like, at the same time, it kind of read sometimes like a little bit of a case study rather than... Mm. Like, I felt a little bit disconnected sometimes.
I think you can definitely, you can sense those journalistic hues coming
journalistic
through.
Journalistic hues,
yeah.
Yes.
She obviously is a journalist.
Yeah. And I think a lot of, like, it was a bit too short to have an impact for me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I wanna start off by saying I don't like the size of this book.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wrote it down and I was like, oh, I feel like I can't talk about that. The size of the book doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then, like, getting to the end, I was like, no, it really bothers me. It's a big book, but the letters are written quite big and I feel like the pages are very thick. It's only 300 pages.
I feel like
including the, like, you know, essay at the back and the acknowledgements. 300 pages and it's big.
Yeah, it's big text.
It's almost the size of Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, I would say. Like, it's close to it.
I just felt like she could have talked a little bit more about that kind of, the concept of it, you know. Like, I just wanted a little bit more. Like, I felt, I really connected with the stories. I actually have a question to ask you.
Yes.
So, I'll ask, what should I ask, actually? What story did you relate to the most and whose did you find the most difficult and why?
Okay, I think I related most to Claire.
Oh, we should say, actually, sorry, I don't know whether we said this, but the story follows three different romances. So Claire, Anna and Patrick are the three we follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I related most to Claire. She is gay, I am not, but...
You felt more connected.
I felt more connected to her because her partner is a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just, like, black or white, they're an asshole, and the whole time you're reading them being an asshole. Like, it was a really beautiful love story. Like, they start off as friends, and I liked that, but there were a couple of comments about, like... her partner says, like, oh, I wouldn't be caught dead with you wearing those shoes.
Yeah, little, manipulative, but just kind of...
It's just mean.
Mean,
it's just a mean thing to say to someone when you're happy about, like, an outfit. Someone to just be like, well, I wouldn't be caught dead
wearing
that.
Wear that,
And I can kind of relate to that to a certain degree in past relationships. And, you know, still staying with that person, even though they've said some things, because you're just like, oh, they're in a bad mood. Or you're like, oh, you're right, that isn't my style or something.
Yes, yes.
But it is your style. You're changing yourself to fit the mold that that person wants you to be.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, I think in that regard, Claire also moves to London. And
I wish I was moving to London.
I think... I also want to mention Anna's story. Anna is...
Did you find that the most difficult, or...?
No, I think I found Patrick's the most difficult.
Okay.
But I... Yeah, okay, I'll talk about Patrick. I found Patrick's the most difficult to relate to because it talks about him being in a six-year relationship.
Yes.
I also just thought, like, he has this massive crush on this girl.
Yes.
They end up getting together, and I'm like, does that really happen that often?
Yeah.
That, like, your crush actually likes you back?
Never.
And then they're together for 6 years, and then it's one of those situations where it's a very sudden end to a relationship.
Yes.
And, like, you know, don't want to give, you know, it away, but it's a very sudden end to a relationship, and
yeah.
you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
And I just don't relate to that, because in every relationship I've been in, there's been problems and you argue about those problems.
Exactly.
And then it, you know, reaches a head and
yep.
you're like, okay, that's it, I'm done.
Exactly.
It's always,
yeah.
Yeah, it's always, it's never like a, oh my God, but I'm in love with you. I
yeah.
want to live with you.
There's always little breadcrumbs that
yeah.
separate people.
Yeah.
Miscommunication.
And so, you know, like his story, like reading about like, you know, someone breaking up with you and still being like, but you're my person, but like, but I'm in love with you and you're in love with me, like
how can this happen? Yeah.
I just don't think I could really grasp it as
yeah.
well as someone who has been in that
yeah.
experience
yeah.
would.
And what about Anna?
So I loved Anna because I loved that her story is so unorthodox.
Mm-hmm.
She's in her 40s and
yes.
she loves her husband, and she's been married for like 20 years or so.
Yes, yes.
And then, yeah, she falls in love with somebody else.
Yes.
And I really liked it because it's not written, you know, like books don't talk about how 40-year-old women have needs and lusts
no.
and desires.
Once you're a mum, that's it.
Once you're a mum, that's it. You're a mum.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that she doesn't necessarily feel a lot of remorse.
Yeah.
It did get a little bit annoying towards the end. I was
yes.
like, oh my God, like,
I agree.
You know, this is
yeah.
kind of getting a bit intense and serious.
Yeah.
And like, it's going to affect a lot of people in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt
yeah.
like she was being a bit
selfish.
Silly and selfish.
Yeah, it's very selfish.
But I liked that, that if it was a man, you wouldn't really bat an eye. You wouldn't really.
Well, yeah.
You
that's...
wouldn't really. You wouldn't be shocked to hear that he's been having an affair and he hasn't really felt that much remorse, because that's kind of how men are portrayed.
Cheating
men are
yeah.
portrayed
that way.
Films.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, and it surprises you because you're like,
it does, doesn't
how
it?
Could you not feel remorse
yeah.
for what you're doing? Like, you are hurting other people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also like, she's pushed to her limits. She's
that's right.
solely
yeah.
a mum. She's not
yeah.
a lover, or she's not
yeah.
seen as desirable by her husband.
Yeah.
I
sympathise with her a lot.
Yeah.
In
and
that
it,
situation.
It was also an interesting concept of, she explores a lot about the fact that you can be in love with two people at the same time.
Yes.
And that there are different types of love.
Yes.
And I think she comes to a really good conclusion, her story, I liked.
Yes.
But yeah, I just, it's, I think it's a hard book to read
mm-hmm.
because you know that they're all breaking up. It's a
yeah.
story about
heartbreak. You know that it's happening. Yeah, yeah.
And it all kind of crashes and burns for everyone's relationships at the same
yeah.
time, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
And so when you're reading through, it's very sad.
Very
it's
sad.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
But that's a testament to how well Jesse Stevens writes about breakups.
Yes. Yes.
She, like, I really felt like, you know, even though I hadn't experienced a breakup like Patrick, I was like, oh my God, like, I really felt like, fuck, like, that
yeah.
would be terrible.
I know.
For someone to just, someone who you've been with for 6 years
just
to turn around
undone.
And just be like, sorry, that's it.
Mm.
Like, how could that be it? Like,
yeah. yeah.
Where's
be
the
like
closure?
Your
you
soul's being ripped out of your
it
chest.
It would,
yeah.
at least if, you know, there are problems, you can rationalize and be like, well,
yeah,
that's
the
problem.
She was like,
and
I'm done.
Yeah.
yeah,
like, how does one get over someone when you're still in love with them?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be horrible.
Do you think, though, that this book is quite healing for people in that way, like, sharing those stories?
I think it definitely would validate people.
Validate
it,
like, to be like, I'm not alone in how I feel.
Yes, and that's
yeah.
the thing, when we get to the end of it, like, I know there's a sentence.
Taylor Swift makes people feel like that as
yes,
well.
Yes, exactly. When you get to the end, there's a line, I can't remember it exactly, but it's something about how it's ironic that something that everyone experiences so often in their life is the one thing that makes you feel alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's, and that
it's
was
very
like,
alienating.
Yeah, yeah, that is a funny concept that everyone goes through breakups.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through, and
you
really
feel
bad
so
breakups,
alone in your pain.
But you do
yeah.
feel like I'm the only person feeling this pain.
Yeah, I'm the only.
It is so
I am
ironic.
The only person on earth who has
yeah.
ever felt this way.
And so
yeah.
she basically said, like, heartsick is her
yeah.
saying, you are not alone.
Okay, so that leads me into my next question then.
Mm.
Why do you think this book is called Heartsick instead of Heartbreak? And what do you think is the difference between the two?
I love that you come prepared.
Oh,
questions.
I am prepared this week, yeah.
Wait, can you read that again?
Okay, so there's two parts. Why do you think the book is called Heartsick instead of Heartbreak, for starters?
Okay, so...
I think it's because of what the concept that you just said, of like people like
yeah.
experience heartsick. Sickness, right?
It is
yeah.
a sickness.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that she discusses heartbreak, and she discusses the fact that people don't respect heartbreak as like a
yeah.
condition or like a disease or an illness or something like that.
Yeah.
But it consumes your body and it hurts and
yeah.
you know,
trying to function after you've been through a terrible relationship, like going to work and stuff,
you're
is
exhausted.
Like, it's terrible. It's like, and people just expect you to just keep going.
Yeah,
it's like someone has died.
Yeah,
that's literally how
you're
it
grieving.
Feels.
It's,
you are grieving.
It's a
yeah.
form of grief.
Yeah.
And so you know, in that in her sort of little essay at the back, I really liked that she kind of dives into that and is like, it's so unfair that
yes
people don't. Respect that.
Respect that.
You
yeah.
know, you're just
yeah.
you're expected to pick yourself back up. You don't get leave
for a breakup.
You gotta go back to work. You gotta, you know, everyone's like, you'll get through it. Everyone's got advice for you, but like, it's something that it really affects you. It's
oh, yeah.
and you know, sometimes it can, to varying degrees, sometimes it can be quite mild. Other times it's soul destroying.
Yeah.
And it takes you a really long time to get through it, and you need
yeah.
like, a psychologist to help
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Because
otherwise you can't process what's happened,
yeah.
like your feelings.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I like that she chose to do that. It's you know, even in the title, it's validating, like, this isn't just heartbreak, this is
heartsickness.
This is
yeah.
like real pain.
Yeah.
This is real and raw.
Yeah.
And lots of people go through it. You're not alone.
Yeah. yeah. I agree.
Like,
completely
that, yeah.
agree. And that's the difference between the two ideas as well, is like, heart sickness is like going through like this disease, for lack of a better word, whereas heartbreak is the initial feeling of
it's like that shattering,
happened.
The earth shattering,
yeah.
you're falling kind of
yeah.
thing.
Whereas heart and sickness is like the aftermath
yes.
of dealing with all
yes.
of those things. Like,
it's how do you pick yourself
how
back up?
How do you
up?
Pick yourself back up? Yeah, how do you heal yourself again?
Yeah.
It takes so long as well, like depending on the severity of the breakup.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing, is like, sometimes I felt like I would like to have seen like the aftermath a little bit more of like people trying to like function and
yeah.
you know,
because
we always see happy endings and like, you know, in everything, but you never see like what happens after.
Yeah. It kind of leaves off when they're still kind of trying to cope
yeah,
with it. They're
cope
trying
with
to
it.
Grasp their emotions.
Yeah, yeah, trying
yeah.
to grasp what's happened.
Yeah.
So it's written in third person, following Claire, Patrick and Anna, telling their story. But what do you think Maggie, Caitlin,
like,
Rob or Paul would have to say if we saw it from like their
Ooh.
Perspective? Because they're on the other side of it, right? And there's this really powerful quote, it's not in the book, but like, I've always thought about it, is the power of all relationships lies with the one who cares the least. And it's true, because if you care the least, you're the one that's not going to get as hurt. You're the one
yeah.
who has all control, because
less
you can,
to lose.
Yep, less to lose. You can break up with them and be fine.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I certainly felt like that reading, like, Maddie. I keep saying Maddie.
Oh
I'm
my
so
gosh.
Sorry. Maggie. I certainly felt like that if, like, we saw it from Maggie's perspective. I think she was going through her own personal stuff. But I think also she was just mean. You know what I mean? Like, she was just a mean gal.
Yeah,
gal.
I struggle with Maggie. I think at first, I don't know. Like, I think we were, you know, I felt bad for hating Maggie, because I thought that initially we were given a lot of good qualities about her, and she was really good, and Claire was so happy with her.
Yeah.
But even in saying that, right at the beginning, Claire's friends warn her about Maggie.
Yeah.
And says, like, no, she's going through some shit. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
And Claire's
yeah.
like, I'm a big girl. I can deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler alert, she can't deal with it.
Yeah, No one. Spoiler alert, no one can deal with it.
Yeah, no one can deal with that. I really
So do you think if it was from her perspective, it would have been a bit different? Like, she would have been like, I'm going, like...
I don't think I would care about Maggie's perspective. I don't think that there was any... I don't think that, you know, I know there's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
I don't think that I needed to hear Maggie's side of the story.
I think we got,
like, proof
of what she
Maggie
was like. Yeah, yeah.
And I know, like, everyone's got their own demons and they're all going through their own stuff.
Mm.
But there was, like, some really unforgivable things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it's one thing to be shitty with your partner and just, like, a bit crabby, a bit quiet, or, you know, say something
and
hurtful.
Then there's another thing to actually...
But to be, like, when they're excited about an outfit, they'd be like, I wouldn't be caught dead with you wearing that.
Like,
that's
great.
A couple of steps too far.
Yeah.
Crossing quite a few lines.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't care about Maggie's story. I don't like Maggie as a character.
Okay, yeah.
So then it made it really hard when Claire's...
Grieving over it.
I'm like, girl.
But she's such an idiot. But that's what happens. Like,
you know,
with friends that you have gone through this, and I've been like, but he's an idiot. And
you're
like, but he's not. And I'm like, but he is.
It's, yeah, I know.
Like,
You know, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand it.
I get it.
I respect it. I just...
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. You can
see. I feel like it's a bit of a curse in this situation.
When you're in those toxic relationships, though, you cannot see out of it. Like, you know, your other friends can be like, oh my God, he's so bad, like, or she's so bad, or whatever. Get out of it. And you're like, no, but, like, I love them, and, like, they're not like
it's,
this all the time.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of like the
you justify
of love
it.
It can, like, double-cross you. Like,
you can't
trust just that feeling.
Yes, it can, yeah.
But we're kind of told, like, you'll know when you're in love.
Yeah.
And you'll know when they're the right person. What if the right person makes you feel like shit every single day?
Exactly.
You know, but you're still in love with them.
It's so
cruel.
Yeah.
And so ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And twin flame thing.
I love how she wrote about that. Like,
yes.
I can't preface that enough. I really like, she really got it.
Yeah, she did.
She understood the assignment.
I understand the assignment.
I also think we should mention how well she talks about mental health.
Yeah, I actually agree. Yeah, I think she really did a great job touching on that. Yeah.
You know, one of the quotes I'll share a bit later is about how she describes a panic attack.
Yes.
And it's like right at the beginning, and I was like, I read it and I was like, oh my God, that's exactly how a panic attack feels, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's rare to find someone who... You know, it's one of those things where, you know, lots of us experience them, but when you actually have to sit down and put it into words, it's like, oh, I don't
difficult
know.
Difficult to describe.
Tight chest. Like, you know, it's...
But
how
it's
do
so
you put
much
that into words?
That.
So then when you find someone who can put
articulate
it into words...
It, yeah.
And yeah, it validates
how
overwhelming it must feel to
be,
you know, suffering from a panic attack or
anxiety
and depression.
I think
all of the characters have elements of depression.
Same.
And anxiety.
Yes.
But mostly depression, like, you know, some highs and lows.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I have another question, actually.
Well, keep them coming.
So, do you think, like, Caitlin, Rob, or Paul, like, do you think they would, you know, we should have heard a bit more from their perspective, or no? It was enough to hear from, like, I think hearing from people on the other side of heartbreak would be difficult because they're not the ones who are necessarily, like, incredibly hurt.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like...
I do think in Anna's case...
Yeah, with the married
four-year-old.
Yeah,
so husband's Paul. The other man is Rob.
Yeah.
I felt like I definitely would have liked to... I think we got enough perspective from Rob's side of
the
story.
Yes, yes.
Not Paul. Paul's very much a backseat character.
I don't know. Yeah, Paul was just like, I'm not in
and
this.
And I think that's
purposely done.
It's purposely done. He's not a big part of her life.
No.
He's there. He's always there.
Yeah.
20 years he's been there and he helps out with the kids and stuff. But he's not, you know, the love of her life. And she's a real asshole to Rob.
She absolutely is.
It's
interesting
because, you know, in these sort of stories, you know, with affairs, it's always a man like, I'll leave her for you. It's always the other woman.
Whereas
in this situation, Rob is the other man.
Other man.
And he's the one who's like, I've given up everything for you. Like, this needs to happen. And she's sort of like,
No.
She's like, oh, yeah, give me a year, give me a year. And she's leading him on.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, when I stopped liking her character.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. She's toying with someone's feelings.
She's
like,
toying with someone's complete life.
Yeah.
And he was so upset. Like, he was so devastated. And then I think you realize, like, wow, this isn't just like a fun.
Yeah. This is serious now.
It's serious.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for so long and
I agree.
So I think we got a lot of
different perspectives.
We didn't need to have chapters and chapters about to know what he was feeling and to know how like soul crushing it must have felt.
The whole thing. Yeah.
To be constantly told, like, yes, I'm gonna leave my husband for you.
But
and
also
then,
no I'm not.
Yeah, but also like, oh, it's so complicated, like
She wanted her cake and to eat it as
mm-hmm.
well, you know what I mean?
She really did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where you can't blame her.
Yeah.
She was having fun and she was in control, and I think for so years probably feeling like she didn't have any control of her life.
Absolutely.
She was just...
Finally, she
wake
went,
up,
yes.
do the same things, get the kids to school, come home, like, you know, she was in a rut.
Be a homemaker,
to be able to control this side of her life.
Was
would
amazing.
Have been so
liberating.
Tempting.
Yeah,
liberating.
Liberating.
But it came at a cost.
Yes, it did.
Mm.
So all three people in the story, Patrick, Anna and Claire,
mm-hmm.
Struggle with their former partners when they begin new relationships. So what do you think is the hardest part of seeing someone move on, and are you ever ready for that moment?
Ooh, I don't think you're ever ready for that moment.
No.
I do think, though, that...
what do you think the hardest part of it is, though? I mean, obviously, we have social media these days, so, like, we can see if we're following people.
Yeah, do you know what I think the worst thing is? When you open up social media...
Yeah.
And it's always because, like, I always unfollow exes, not out of, like, spite or anything, just to not
your
see
own
their...
mental health.
Yeah,
yeah
just
yeah.
to not see if they do move on.
I understand, yeah.
Just to get some things. Also... haven't really had a good breakup where it's like we just fell out of love and we're still friends. So
does
there's
anyone
been a
have a good breakup?
I don't know.
Like,
some people
like
must.
It's very rare for exes to be friends. I feel like that's just not maybe in time, but
I think it takes time. And you need to be apart for a certain amount of
time
and then
yeah.
if you can like reconnect and be friends, then I think that's how to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so the worst thing is when you see like another friend has tagged that person in something and then you're tempted to just be like, oh, I'll just click on their profile. You click on it and you see initials in their bio.
Yeah.
Where it's like
okay,
a girl's
yours,
initials.
And you're like, fuck
and you're
you.
Like, like, because they'll be on private, so you can't see their pictures.
Yes.
But those initials still pop up and you're like,
I know.
Why did I do this to myself?
Exactly. And the biggest thing is out of sight, out of mind. Because, like I said, I think these days, the hardest thing about seeing someone move on is literally social media. Because you see it, and then there's all these feelings behind that of, like, if you block your ex, they might message you and be like, oh, you know, we can still be friends or whatever. It's like, no, we cannot. We cannot be friends. Like, I need to block you so I can move on and, like, not see you with anyone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's also, for me, it's really difficult when someone has been really toxic to me
mm-hmm.
and then they're with another girl and I'm like, oh, are you treating her the same? Have you grown as a person? That poor girl.
Always approach that with the mindset of, I hope, like, I've never been one to be like, oh, he's moved on. Like, he's just going to keep doing the same thing. I hope that being with me has taught you that you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do it to that next person.
Because sometimes you're the exception. I was definitely the exception
mm-hmm.
for, like, a relationship where the next person he's still with this person now. The next person he's with is now his wife and they have children together.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I was the exception for her to have that,
mm-hmm.
which is a really the most painful lesson in my life.
It is really sad. I think you just need to look at it from the point of view of, well, at least that woman is now happy
is
and
now
doesn't
happy,
have to go
yeah.
through what I went through.
Yeah.
Like, why would I want anyone else to go through that? Like, you don't want that man to be happy.
No.
But also, like, if he's learnt his lesson, it technically means that I was right. And he, you know, like, when he tried to make it out like I was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
know, like...
Exactly.
It validates your own feelings.
Yeah.
And it's sad that it took them moving on to find that.
To find that.
But,
yeah.
you know, that's life.
Yeah, it is hard. Like, and you got to be careful, I guess, not to stalk your exes, not to stalk their new girlfriend, like just things like that. Like it's really, I think, yeah, these days it's really difficult because it's so in our faces to see other people's lives.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day it would have been easier because it was like, well, I'll never see this person again. So
yeah,
it will be easier to get over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
So let me just ask, you haven't read anything by Sally Rooney, have you?
Remind me what she wrote, like Ordinary People.
Ordinary people.
What am I saying?
Normal People.
Normal people.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I really liked the way that
Ordinary People. God. It's a sardine can, isn't it? Sardine.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really liked the way that Jesse talks about like the nerves of a fresh relationship, you know, like it's very much like, you know, you're
sweating, exciting,
and it's like at one point she talks about how this boy is like sitting so close to this girl that he's forgotten how to breathe.
He's like,
how does my lungs know how to bring air in because I'm so conscious
I'm so
of
nervous.
Everything.
I'm
conscious of how my hands
yeah.
feel, and like where you place your hands, where your laptop is in front of you, like
yeah.
you're overanalyzing every movement.
Absolutely.
I liked that, and that's very
yeah.
Sally Rooney. It's like
yeah.
awkward. It shows the awkward sides. It's not just love at first sight.
Okay.
And, you know, you walked right up and felt comfortable talking to them. It shows the nervous side.
Yeah. Oh, I just banged her phone.
It shows the nerves behind
yes.
that.
The encounters.
Yeah.
yeah.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people write that.
No. What were you going to say about panic attacks? I'm really interested
oh,
in that quote.
Okay. Do you want me to flip to the quote?
Yeah. Let's do quotes.
So this is on page 16, something, this is Claire, and she's just spotted an ex in a pub.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two hands are clamped around her throat. Her feet are unsteady and she has to count the steps as she races down them. The glass door's finally in sight. Once she's out on the street, she buckles over, hands on thighs, sure she's about to vomit on the footpath. She's panting and can feel her chest and neck turning red, every breath harder to find than the last. She's sure she's about to die. She'll pass out and hit her head or have a heart attack. There's a knife twisting its way through her chest, and there's no way a heart is meant to beat this fast. Is every heart only given a certain number of beats? Her body is using them all up, faster, thumping in her ears. She's about to spontaneously combust all over Neil Street, but at least then this will be over. Let this be over. Black dots obscure her vision, and it's like two curtains from her peripheral vision are closing in on her.
Yeah.
It's
a panic attack. Yeah.
That's a bloody panic
attack.
That's a panic attack,
sure.
That's
yeah.
every element of a panic attack.
Yeah. Yeah. That heart beating fast, your chest turning red.
And thinking
yeah.
like, you know, thinking the
I
question,
just want
to
die.
you know, isn't every heart only given a certain number of beats?
Yeah.
Thinking
yeah.
that and like you're using them all up.
And you can hear your heartbeat in your ears. Like
yeah.
you can actually hear
and it's
the throbbing.
It's so accurately just
isn't it yeah it's really good
what's going through your head
yeah.
when you are having a panic attack
yeah
yeah so I really liked that, you know.
Yeah.
Only 16 pages in and I'd already written that.
You were like
yeah.
oh
okay, you go.
My quotes,
yeah. Do you want to adopt me to finish?
Oh,
mine.
You finish yours.
Okay,
finish yours.
All right,
what's your next quote, Maddie?
Thank you for asking. So my next quote is it's one of Patrick's quotes. It's very small, but I don't know, I thought it was, he's comparing himself to his girlfriend. She's very smart and
yes.
intelligent,
yes.
and yeah,
well,
feels
in
like
his mind.
Yeah, in his
she
mind.
Is.
This
yeah.
is one of those instances where it's like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Why
yeah.
am I the,
yes.
the dumb one?
He's she's too good for me. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Imposter syndrome.
Coding he can do, concepts he can understand, but he often feels like words are butterflies flying away whenever he gets too close to the right one. I really like
that's
that.
Really good. Yeah.
And I think that's basically just a description of anxiety, you know? Like,
yeah.
you can be, like, I'd like to think that we're both good with words.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But yeah, as soon as I, like, feel my heart starting to beat faster, my mouth gets a bit dry, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know words anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like, you know, using the, okay, so like having a job interview, like you literally are like, okay, I'm prepared for this interview, like I know what I'm going to say, and then they hit you with this left field question and you're like,
yeah,
I don't know who I am.
You're like,
so,
What does it mean? Okay. So this is a quote from Claire.
Yes, Claire's story.
And
I have no context for my quotes, so okay, I'm just going to read them out.
Just roll with it. She thinks about her when she showers and when she looks out the window on the bus and sees a couple with their fingers interlaced. She thinks about her when she feels another complaint at work and knows it's a story Maggie will enjoy. And what did you say? Maggie will ask, turning around from the stove to give Claire her full attention. Nothing in her life is significant on its own. It is made significant by the fact it will later be heard by Maggie.
Okay, that I love that because you've just reminded me of that part and I completely forgot about this part. And that was actually a quote that I really liked. And the reason for that is because when you're in love with someone or when you're even broken up with someone, you see them everywhere and you search a room for them.
Yes.
You know?
And it's so true that it's not just every about moment falling in love with someone, but when you love people, like best friends, if something significant happens in your day,
you're
constantly like, oh my gosh, I need to tell them about this.
I need to tell them about this.
You know?
That's right.
And it's an interesting idea because I don't think it's one that is explored that greatly.
No.
This concept of like, stories don't have importance. The people you tell them to make it important.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know?
I completely agree.
But then it gives way to the idea that when that person's no longer there, does your life have meaning?
Yes.
And I hate that.
Yes.
I hate that. And that's something that's prevalent in all three characters,
yes.
Is that as soon as that other person has left, there's nothing else
there's
in their life.
There's nothing else. Yeah.
That
their
they,
whole identity is
they
this
lived
person.
For that person.
Yeah.
And I think it takes being in a bad relationship for you to be like, oh my God, never again am I going to rely on somebody else for my happiness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, would love for someone to share moments with and, you know, share my life with.
It is so important
never,
to be your own person.
Yeah, I
so
don't want to
important.
Have to rely on another person to be happy because people have a habit of letting you down.
Yes.
And you need to be able to pick yourself back up.
Yes.
And be like, no, like, I know what makes me happy.
Exactly.
I make me happy.
Yeah. It is so important, like, I'm married, and, like, you have to be an individual person in that marriage, because if you make it about the other person entirely, then you completely lose who you are. And it's very normal, like, when you're in a long-term relationship, be like, we are doing this, or we think this and that, because, like, you know, really, your husband, wife, whoever, your partner, should be your, you know, part of you, your other half, better half, most people say. But I think it can be dangerous to not have your own hobbies, not have your own interests, all of that, and just become in service to this person all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
that's
true.
What we kind of see in the book is, like, a lot of, like, the characters, you know, not so much Anna, but, like, her, the recipient, like, was it Rob or Paul? I can't remember. Paul's her husband, yeah, that's also. Yeah, Rob is the one who's like pining for her, and she eventually kind of just loses interest because it's not interesting when someone is obsessed with you. There's something about it that turns you off.
Yeah, that's true. And then she's the one who's sort of less affected by it.
Yeah.
Also because she has a family. She didn't lose anyone. She didn't lose a husband. She's got everything she needs.
That's right.
To be, you know, happy.
Yeah.
It was just that this was an exciting part of her life.
It reminds me of Sex Life, which is that Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch that, And she has everything, like, she has the husband, the kids, like, amazing stuff, but then she still wants her ex, who's so toxic and so bad for her, treated her like shit, did some really awful things to her, but, like, I mean, that show was, like, effed up, really, because, you know, she was, like, wanting to sleep with her ex while she had the husband, but look, it was similar to Anna, like, of, like, something's missing.
Yes.
And so I want something else for myself. Because she is in the same situation. She's a stay-at-home mum. She's got nothing else. No hobbies outside of that. You know, it's like very similar.
She hasn't felt important or needed in a very long time.
In a very long time.
Yeah, so true.
Anyway, what's another quote that you really liked?
Yeah, my last quote is from Patrick again. He's talking to his now ex-girlfriend. They're having it's nearing the end of the book, they're having a conversation about the relationship, and he's basically asking, like, why it went wrong.
Yeah, yeah. What happened?
I was on the brink of a breakdown, she says, and you couldn't understand. All I needed was for you to listen, but I was yelling into this empty void. I wanted you to give a shit and I couldn't make you. He insists that he did care, he just didn't know how to fix it. But that's not what she ever wanted. To try and fix it was to suggest that her pain wasn't valid, that she was just a problem that required a solution. When she struggled, she felt like a burden who was just thrown onto his to-do list. Sort out Caitlin. He needs her to hurry along, recover, be normal again, and that meant that she could finally be herself.
Yeah. And that's so true, like, from her perspective of, like, when you have depression or anxiety, like, you feel like shit because no one can understand it.
Yes.
You
and then
feel
if
like
someone's
a burden.
Like, oh, just do this, just do this, just
and
do
like,
this, you're like,
no.
No, like, stop making me feel like I can't even solve my own fucking problems.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stop making me feel like the solution is just so easy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very, very, very common problem in a lot of relationships. I think
yeah.
men are fixers and
absolutely.
Women are like stressors
and worriers.
And we need
and
to
prayers.
Share that. We need to share that. And I think men can't fully grasp that concept
the emotional, yeah.
that we just want them to listen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to solve our problems for us.
Yeah.
We just want them to like sit there and just listen and
yeah.
validate us and be like, yeah, that's
well,
fine.
I've said to Mark
that,
like multiple times, like, I don't need you to have a solution for this. You don't
yes.
need to fix it. You just
yes.
need to listen.
Yes. It
you
reminds
know?
Me, I can't remember exactly what it was, but like in psychology, I've heard a lot of psychologists say that you should approach, like if someone comes to you and they're like, I have a problem. Can I like vent to you? You should be like, yes, do you want me to just
do
listen?
Do you need advice?
Do you
yeah,
need
yeah.
me to be silent? Do you want my opinion? Do you want me to, like, tell you how I think you should fix this?
Yeah.
Do you want me to just blatantly agree with you no matter what you say? Do you want me to tell you if you're being, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You know
what approach is best?
Unreasonable. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And when I read that, I was like, oh my god, that's so true. Because, like, you know... And it changes depending on what you want to, like, you know,
yeah.
let go of and vent
yeah.
about. But, yeah, sometimes you do just want someone to sit there. Sometimes you do need someone's opinion.
You do. You need the outside
but there's
perspective.
There's nothing
yeah.
worse than, like, you, one, want someone's opinion and they're silent. Or
yeah.
you don't want someone's opinion. You just want them to listen and
they're
just
and
keep
they just
offering
keep,
you solutions.
Yeah, and you're like, stop. It's like, do you follow the holistic psychologist on Instagram?
I don't think I do.
Well, she's really good. She talks about this. Like, she talks a lot about childhood trauma. But one of the things she talks about is when... someone comes to you, like say they're grieving and they come to you with like to talk about their grief and you how to say to someone, like if they start to compare it to their own story or they start to give advice, how to probably say to someone, thank you for that, but I'm actually not after that right now. Like
that's another thing
yeah.
as well, like when people relate to their stories, because sometimes it can be helpful if someone's like, look,
I've actually
really
been
similar
through this too.
But then
yeah.
obviously, you know, if someone's just lost someone close to them and you're like, oh, you know, yeah, I remember I had a goldfish that died. You know, like
goldfish.
I don't know, but for example,
I once had a goldfish.
You know, like it's, you know, you pick your moments.
Yeah, yeah,
and
no,
it
I get
helps,
it.
Though, if we all were like more open about what we expected
yeah.
conversationally and
absolutely
through communication, if
yeah.
you were just like, okay,
it's a big factor in this
here.
Book. Communication.
Yes, communication.
Yeah.
There just
yeah.
isn't communication
proper
because
communication, yeah.
you're in love and you just trust that that other person is going to be in love with you as well
yeah,
forever.
Yeah. The thing is, as well, like, it's like when you're in love, like, or in a relationship, you have to also be that person's friend. And sometimes the friendship, like, I thought in this book and in real life as well, would you be friends with this person?
Mm.
Like, with your ex, right? Would you be friends with him?
No.
He's not a good person.
No,
like,
yeah.
And yet, for some reason, like, we separate those two concepts of, like, okay, the friendship doesn't matter because I like this person. But, like,
yeah.
would you be friends with person that
yeah.
person?
I definitely think you need elements of both. And I can't
elements
say
both,
that I've
yeah.
ever felt like I was friends with people I've dated.
No.
It's always been very separate for me.
Very separate. Yeah.
yeah
interesting.
Obviously why they didn't end very well.
Yes, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of quotes that I wouldn't mind reading out.
Yeah.
My favorite was that romantic rejection can be described as the ramblings of a mad person. And for
yeah.
me, heartbreak or heart sickness is madness. Because
yeah.
when you're so heartbroken or so distraught over a romantic rejection, what's that called? Unrequited love?
Unrequited love.
Like when you experience that, it is so painful. It is,
mm.
I fully agree that it is like someone has died. Like, it really honestly feels like your heart is dying. Like, it's such an awful feeling.
Physical pain.
And it makes you mad. Like, you cannot focus on anything. You can't sleep. You don't eat. You don't take proper care of yourself. You can't function at work. It's awful. And it is the ramblings of a mad person, because as well, when you're going through situations like that, you literally cannot stop thinking about it. So you cannot stop talking about it.
Yeah.
So every party you go to and every interaction you have with another friend is like, Patrick, so let's use him for example.
Yeah.
Like, Patrick said this, oh, when I used to be with Patrick, we used to do this. Oh, Patrick used to be like that. Oh, Patrick. And, like, you can tell even in your friends that they're getting sick of it. That, like...
And even if you were to bring it up, I think, like, you know, you try to have, like, a fun night out and not think about it, but...
But you wish that person was there with
you
experiencing
it. You wish that person was there.
Yeah.
And you also, like, you just... You feel the after effects of it. Like, you're tired and you...
Yeah.
You feel like you have to force laughter. And you run out. Like, your social tolerance
is
just
so
low. And you're like,
faking
everything.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a physical thing.
It is, isn't it?
It's not just, like, a mental thing.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't take it seriously.
You
know, we don't treat it like mental health. Anyway, the next quote I had was one that was said about the breakup, which is, whatever you think this is going to be like, it's going to be worse. Which is so true, unfortunately, because you can think, like, okay, I'll get through this, like, or, you know, whatever. But what happens in a breakup most of the time, I have never experienced a good breakup, and I don't know anyone who has, because what happens is that people get really fucking nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And they say things that they don't really mean, or they bring up things that you never thought were even possible, you know, like, about, like, oh, well, you used to, like, cut me off mid-sentence, and like, I hated that, and that's like, but you never told me this, you know?
And then it makes you question that relationship.
So all this stuff starts to come out when, like, you know, so whatever whatever it's going to be like, it's going to be worse, because there's nasty things that get said afterwards. And then the final one, which actually made me laugh out loud, because this word is just not used anymore.
Mm.
Our relationship is complicated by the fact that I am emotionally retarded. I was like, what?
Who, do you remember who said that?
I think it was Patrick.
I
feel
like
it was
like
Patrick.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but, like, I just thought, when I read that, I was like, okay.
Yeah, all right, that's one way to put it.
Anyway, they were my three quotes that I really liked, but my favourite, was the romantic rejection can be described as the ramblings of a mad person, because it absolutely is the ramblings of a mad person.
Yeah.
Makes you go insane.
I've actually, I'm looking through my notes right now as you were saying this, and I've actually just thought of another quote that I really liked.
Say it.
And it's from Anna.
Mm.
I don't think I really shared any quotes from Anna. So she composes herself, brushes her teeth, and climbs into bed with the man she'll love until the day he dies. When I read that, I was like, wow, she could have written chapters on the dynamic between, you know, she loves her husband, Paul. She loves him. But, like, she needs more from life. And she's torn between this new love and obviously this older love, but it's a safe love. And, like, he takes care of her. Like, there's nothing wrong with Paul.
It's a familiar love.
Yeah, it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he knows her so well. And I just thought, like, that sentence tells us everything we need to know. Like, she'll be faithful to him until the day he dies. Like, she has committed to him.
He dies, though.
And that's sort of,
the
that's the first indicator that perhaps she's not ready to leave this behind and commit to this other guy.
I think it's important, like, this book also explores, like, different types of love. Like, there can be, like, really lovely love, and then there can be really toxic love. Like, I would say that Maggie, like, in the end was a toxic
love. Toxic relationship.
Yeah.
For sure.
But there's different kinds of heart sick, I guess, that you can experience.
Mm-hmm.
They all experience the same kind of thing, but...
I feel like Anna's different, though, because she is torn between two loves
men,
of her life.
You can't compare scars, though, because it's everyone experiences pain differently. Like, what could be really painful for one person could not affect the other person
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. I also like the way she writes just about like waiting for a text.
Yes. You know, oh my god.
Throughout the
I know.
Whole book,
isn't that so
I feel
true?
Like we're constantly waiting for texts, and it is true. Like you don't even need to give that much detail about it because instantly I think everyone knows that like gut feeling where you're just looking at your phone screen and it's empty and you're like, come on, like
you
just
wake
text
up in the
me.
Morning and just like
and
check.
Yeah,
and it's
you,
not there.
Yeah, you know, like pressing the home screen, your stomach dropping every single time they haven't texted you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so much more complicated in. I know I've talked about this before previously, like, you know, in the podcast, but like it's so much more complicated now with social media and just the internet. I feel like dating now, like when I was first dating, like Tinder had just come out. Tinder's so different now. So different, and waiting for those texts or waiting for, you know, you post a photo because you want that person to see it. You post something on your stories on Instagram where you look really good because you're like, I hope that he sees this. Like,
yep.
This is such a new psychological concept that we've
yeah.
just started to do.
That
it's
actually
so
reminds
different.
Me, that at one point, Jessie Stevens, like at the end, says that falling in love is like the most narcissistic thing you can do because you're constantly looking at yourself. You're not actually, you think you're looking at the person across from you, but you're constantly like, how do I make myself the best
that
for
is
this person?
So true.
You're constantly looking at who you are
yep.
and how you look to that person.
Yes.
And it's an interesting thought.
That
because,
is so true.
Yeah,
yeah
but
yeah.
it is. It really is narcissistic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But kind of in the best way.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we've gone on quite a deep dive.
We have, yeah. We've actually gone quite deep. I think this book is quite close to both of our hearts because obviously we've both been through heartbreak and I think we can kind of understand why. I guess I'll talk about briefly about the problems I had with the book, and I felt like it just was a little bit too short for me. I would have liked to have known a little bit more about the stories, like a bit too short to have an impact, and I felt like there wasn't really any life lessons. Sometimes I kind of was where it's up to us as readers to kind of work out
and
the
you
lessons.
Take what you need from it
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah
yeah
you take what you need from it, which I guess, you know, is true because everyone's life is different, but it was also like a little bit about like more like a case study rather than a narrative sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit like, oh, because obviously she's a journalist, so she's probably writing from that perspective. Yeah, and I don't like stories that tell the story rather than show it.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing for me. It's like I just want to be shown, taken on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like sometimes I was being told. But no, overall, I really enjoyed it. I would give it 4 stars.
I think I would give it 4 stars
yeah.
as well. I feel like it's one of those books, though, where, like, I'm not going to be reaching for it to read it over and over again.
No.
I think you read it once, and it's maybe even...
It's not a happy ending book. Either.
Yeah, maybe it's probably one of those books that you read and you go, oh my god, I'll give this to a friend. It's one of those, like, pass-along books that you share with someone who you think might need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only thing I can really fault is just that it is hard from watching from the outside people, you know, making bad decisions in
bad
love.
Bad decisions, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like...
Sorry, my dog is banging on the...
You just want to save people pain. And
yeah.
So it's really hard when you know that you just want to scream at someone and be like, oh my God, just fucking leave them.
Yeah,
like
that.
They're not good for you.
Yeah.
So
hard when you're in it, though.
It's so hard when you're in it. But yeah, I can't fault her writing. I did like the individual storylines. I liked that they were so different.
Yes, it made it interesting.
Yeah, I liked that, you know, like, Patrick, he was almost, like, lusting over this girl before.
He was, yeah.
Like, there's a part where he,
She has a boyfriend, by the way.
Yes, at the
yeah.
beginning, yeah. And he's looking at their prom picture... formal pictures
yeah.
and he's like, oh, he like focuses on the fact that her corsage is a little squished, and he's
yeah.
like, oh, the boyfriend mustn't care because he must have just slipped
yeah,
into his jacket
things.
Pocket
yeah yeah
and I was like, that tells me that he's like
obsessed
with this girl
yeah yeah
and that's probably why he is so heartbroken when it doesn't work out. And And then, yeah, like, Claire doesn't really know what she's doing with her life, and
she's a bit lost.
She's definitely looking for someone to fill
the void.
The void inside her.
Yeah.
And
which is a terrible thing to do. You cannot fill the void with other people, by the way.
Yes. Be happy on your own.
Yeah.
Find someone
you have
you
to work through that.
With.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
And then Anna, like, I loved that it was such a different story. We don't see the
middle-aged women are not written about, nor are
their
movies.
No, nor are they sexualized. You know, she has a rampant sex life.
Yeah.
That's actually something we should mention. There are sex scenes in this book.
Oh, yeah, there's sex
scenes. And,
times.
Like, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading Anna's and I was like, wow. Like, the way she describes you sleeping with her husband compared to sleeping with this man, like, she's not the same person. When she's with her husband, she's this mum who's self-conscious of her body.
Yes.
When she's with Rob, she's sexy.
She feels sexy.
She feels sexy.
Well. Yeah.
And so that makes it, you know, you don't instantly go, oh my God, but you're cheating on your husband and family. Like, you're like, no, I get this.
Yeah,
you're sad.
Kind of
and this man is making you feel happy. You've given your whole life to your family.
Yeah.
Take a little bit for yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I definitely understood her perspective.
So I liked the storylines. I feel like maybe it could have been a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
It just felt like you were reading about someone's life.
Yes.
And it,
a bit disconnected sometimes, I felt like. I was like,
yeah.
Oh. Probably related to, probably Claire the most out of all of them, I'd say.
Yeah.
Patrick I did as well. Like, I understood Patrick, but I guess Anna, like, it's hard to understand because neither one of us have been in that kind of situation. So,
no.
Like, obviously it was a bit different.
I do completely understand where she's
I sympathise with her, for sure.
Yeah,
I get
it.
I
imagine how hard that would be.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
4-star for you as well?
Yeah, 4
stars.
I think she did a really good job.
She captured the essence of heart sickness.
Yeah. And that's what she set out to do.
Yeah.
Just the way she describes mental health, mental illness, and...
I think that's my favourite part of the book is the way that she is able to articulate that, because quite often mental health can be really difficult to capture properly in books.
Yes.
Like, I've read about some and I'm like, that's not really what it's like. But
depression,
like, for me, like, you read about depression and, like, the person gets up and, like, lives their life and I'm like, honey, that's not what happens.
We
go
through phases where Anna, 40-year-old mum, she'll wake up, pretend like everything's okay, drop her kids to school, and then she goes right home and sleeps all day and then wakes up and picks them up and so no one knows what she's going through. And Claire's kind of the same. It's actually interesting, she's diagnosed with what's it called, seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
A lot of Aussies get
overseas
because we're not used to, like, cold weather. Sunshine. That's the thing. Like, I love...
Since moving out to Queensland, actually, I have to say that, like, compared to South Australia, like, the weather up here makes you so much happier. It is such a happier, like, the tropics.
I think, I love the sunshine. I love winter, though. But
winter's
it's
here
so,
so good.
True
yeah.
that when it's been... when it, in winter and it's cloudy for a few days in a row, so the sun hasn't been able to shine through,
you feel a bit glum, don't
you?
You
do feel glum.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
I mean, I love rain.
Same. I love a nice storm.
Love rain.
But after a couple of days, though, you're kind of like,
all right, that's enough.
It does affect. I want the
that's
sun
enough.
On my face.
Yeah.
It is interesting. So
yeah.
I think I would. I would probably have seasonal affective disorder as
well.
Yeah,
going overseas. Yeah, for sure.
So funny, us poor Aussies. We're like, but where's the sunshine? And I don't know if she ever gets diagnosed with depression per se. I don't know if maybe she was incorrectly diagnosed with the seasonal affective disorder rather than just depression. But she definitely has, like, days in bed.
Something's going on.
This constant voice in her head telling her she's not good enough, that her partner's gonna leave her.
Yeah.
So yes, all in all, we have to leave off.
Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap this bad boy.
Let's
up.
Wrap it up. So yes, 4 stars for both of us. I would recommend this book to people who have been through heartbreak before, because I think if you haven't been through it, you probably are not going to understand.
I would agree with that as well.
Yeah. Especially, like, and I think mental health and heart sickness go hand in hand with each other, because when you do suffer from a pretty big breakup, it's only natural to feel quite anxious about life and or like depression. Like I was even thinking about like how, you know, when you're with someone for like a long time, men drive the car a lot, right?
Yeah.
So if use my example, if Mark and I ever got a divorce and I had to drive to like
everywhere,
Mount like Lamington or something, I'd be like like, yeah, you know, or going camping on my own because I don't drive as much anymore because Mark's usually one that drives on trips, like camping trips.
That is
so
very true.
Little even, tiny things, yeah, like that.
Yeah, even just getting used to someone sleeping in your bed,
like, yeah, having a conversation with someone every day, how was your day, how was work, blah blah blah.
Fun story, we should share the story.
Cooking for someone as well, Hayley, like when you cook on your own it's really boring, but cooking for someone else,
I love cooking by myself.
I don't
see, I'm a very happy single person.
Yes, Maddie is the exception.
Pouring myself a glass of red wine, yeah, and cooking myself dinner and listening to music.
I like cooking for other people.
Yeah.
What were you going to say about me?
Yeah, time to share a fun, embarrassing story.
About me?
Yes. Do you remember when you had a sleepover at my house?
Well, I've had a couple, haven't I?
Yeah, you probably have.
With Monique on the...
No, that was... lots of funny stories. No, we were in the same bed. You rolled over... and you started, like, feeling up my chest.
Oh, that's right.
And I woke up to Hayley, like, hands roaming my chest. And I was like, Hayley. And she was like, what? And I was like, your hand. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were Mark. And I was like, it's okay.
Because I rub Mark's chest at night. You said it felt quite nice. You were like, it's actually not
bad. I mean, yeah, it wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
But
that's what happens though. You sleep.
I'm glad
when you,
I didn't feel the
when
same.
You, yeah, when
I
you,
hope it didn't
no,
feel the same.
No, it was not the same.
I hope it was less
when
scary.
You sleep, when you're used to sleeping next to someone, that's what happens. It's the little things in the breakup that kill you in the end.
Yes.
It's the tiny things like that,
yeah,
like the loneliness at night and things, you know.
That's
like
one
that
thing I remember as well. Yeah, like laying down to bed.
Mm.
And
not having anyone to text.
Yeah, and it just,
yeah,
or like not having someone to just like hug while you,
yeah,
sleep. It's,
yeah,
like it's a weird concept
it
that
is,
you feel,
yeah,
like that's where it,
yeah,
yeah, that's
I agree,
where you're lacking.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, I'd recommend this book to, like, if you have been through a really intense breakup, it will give you some perspective on that you're not alone and probably help validate your feelings as well.
Mm.
Like, there's a lot of clarity, I think, in books like this. And yeah, particularly if you have had a really bad breakup where it's caused anxiety or depression as a aftermath effect, yeah, it would be really good to
or
self-doubt
as well.
Self-doubt, so
thinking you're crazy.
Yes.
I think,
yeah,
that's one
imposter
of the
syndrome, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things you can never see it when it's you.
Yeah.
But
you can see
if,
it from other people.
Yeah,
though,
even if you're in a relationship and there's problems, I think reading this book, you'd be like, oh my god, why did this person stay with that person?
I know, exactly. Yeah,
and then
exactly.
And you'd be like, oh my god, wait.
Well, wait, I did that too.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what we talked about, please follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
We would love that. And you can give us a review on, I think we're on all platforms now, so...
Yes, we are on all platforms.
All platforms, yeah.
Yeah, so you can find us anywhere that podcasts are.
Yeah, Spotify is the most popular, obviously, according to the analytics, which is great. But next, what are we reading next week?
So next week we're reading The Thursday Murder Club
That's
by Richard Osman.
Yes.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited for this. And it's something different, you know, it's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
I think that's what we need. We need to change it up a bit.
Yeah, I'm feeling a mystery. Yeah.
Also, just to let everyone know, in December, we're going to be posting the December reads soon.
Yeah, we just have to decide.
Yes, we are going to be doing two books a month rather than,
yeah,
four, because four is just too much.
It's getting hectic as, yeah, yeah.
And also, the point is kind of for people to read along with us, and I think it's just...
It's too much, but like also
it's
like
a chore when
we,
you've got to read four books a month.
Yeah, we can't read that much, like... It's
no,
like a lot.
No, when you're working, it's,
yeah,
just, yeah, it does look
it's too much. So
two a month gives us more time to really, you know, sink into a book.
Yeah, I think so too. Two weeks. Yeah,
to,
yeah,
rush through it.
We have to pick a Christmas book. I really want to pick a shitty romance, but
I
want to Maddie,
pick like a classic.
Maddie wants to pick a classic. Maybe
we'll
meet in the middle.
Yeah, we've got... Is there a
I want to read the ones
cheesy
that are, like, cowboys for Christmas and, like, things like that. So your face just dropped. You're, like, just, like, a cowboy for Christmas and it's got, like, this white boy on the. You just know. You just know. His Christmas prize. You know, things like that. No. I love it. I love it.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I'll mention. Honourable mention to those authors who write those books because they're killing it. They get read. They're guilty pleasures for people. They are guilty pleasures. So we'll talk about those books in our Christmas special episode. Yes, I certainly
I'll
will.
I'll allow it.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Join us next week as we talk about the Thursday Murder Club.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.